This is Near FM
90.3.
One of Ireland's favourite panto dames, and he's one of Ireland's favourite actors, Mr. Joe Connolly. And you're very welcome along to the Art Show on Near FM 90.3. How are you?
Good evening to you. How are you all?
Did you enjoy that song?
Lovely song. Isn't she a wonderful artist?
Unbelievable, and she's still going to this day. But I mean, the production on that there was just
the measure of a great woman, indeed. Yeah,
it's just powerful, absolutely powerful. A bit like yourself, Joe. And I mean, we were speaking before we came on air. We haven't spoke to you really on the Art Show since last year, in the midst of course of all the pandemic. How are you keeping since then?
I've been doing really well. You know, I have found it very challenging, like us all. And I'm not generalising, but I think for me personally, I have found it very challenging. I have found it very productive, I'll be honest and say that, because of my community of the arts and the theatre and the arts in general across the board. We've all suffered, like a lot of other industries and parts of our society, but the arts in general, it just took a bit of a battering, and people were doing stuff online and producing online, which is great, but you can't beat going to a theatre, to live theatre. So it's slowly but surely getting back there. So I just had to change a lot of stuff around, which I didn't mind. I went back to cooking a lot. I have a background in cooking. So
fabulous.
Degree in cooking, which I trained as a chef in Cahill Brew Street.
Oh, wow, Joe, I didn't know that about you.
Yeah, Saks Hotel. And so what was great about it in some ways, and I have to be careful how I say what was great about it for me, because there has been a lot of suffering. But for me personally, living alone, being prostate cancer, being an ambassador for the Irish Cancer Society, all those type of things, I took on board like writing, cooking. I took up meditation from Deepak Chopra. So I changed stuff around where during the madness of our times, where we're always the madness of our lives, where we don't take time and take stock and to recharge. And I've been doing that for years and promising myself I have to stop. And so I didn't have a choice. So with the time given to me, I capitalized on, I need to clean that press out. I need to get the house painted. I want to start writing, which I love, and I've started. And talking about being an advocate for men's health, the men to go to their GP and get their MOT. Checked. And that's how I was diagnosed with my cancer, which was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And I greatly say I'm doing great. I couldn't be doing better, you know? So there is that awful fear of that word cancer, but not for me. I just took it on board, dealt with it. I dealt with it in a positive way, as I did with the pandemic. So I changed loads around. I really did. I got back to my cooking, which I have adored doing. I found it very therapeutic, really, really therapeutic. I went back to writing, which I started a really long time ago, but then the trappings of a busy life and an actor, I'm very, very blessed to what I have and what's put in front of me and offered to me. And I went back to that, so I start writing this book, which is a trilogy, which is work in progress at the moment, and there's people have it and are looking at it. And then I wrote a stage play. I'm working with this playwright, and I'm dealing with her once or twice a month. I get exercise from her to write this, and I'm breaking down narratives and characterizations, and this is all work in progress. And so to the pandemic, it has worked out that way for me, because I am not a television person. I don't sit down and watch bundles of Netflix and go on. I'm up at the crack of dawn. I've worked out. I worked on my workout regime by buying stuff online, weights and lines to work with. And I've been blessed. And even with my post-prostate cancer positivity, like the going and getting blood in the middle of a pandemic, going to Vincent's Private Hospital, and you'd hear a pin drop with no one there. I was going up to phlebotomy, then I'd go over to oncology daycare just for my reviews and all that. And they were still working flat out, you know, and that was a tough one, me personally. It was just seeing people sick, and, you know, that was just, you know, so it was up and down, you know. I with the Irish Cancer Society, I was to go to on Camino this July, but that has now been postponed to next Easter. So to raise funds for the Irish Cancer Society with a great team of people. And we've changed the dates for that. And, you know, I've capitalised on it. I'll be honest, I've capitalised on it.
Yeah, that's because the last time we spoke to you, you were getting yourself prepared for that. And we were trying to get, you know, information about the donation line, that type of thing. And, of course, you did thankfully get through the cancer scare that you went through. Precisely, and the Lord behold, you did pull through with it, and you've become an advocate for this particular kind of cause, which has been fantastic. And I mean, you have to kind of you know take it while you can and use the opportunity for beneficial purposes for other people, which you do in abundance. You genuinely do. But the acting, obviously, that you're known for, you still have it in your blood, and you of course, it's coming to the point where it will end eventually. But I mean, if you look at the news recently, you see like lots of musicals and shows are open up in London. No, are you envious of that?
I beg your pardon?
Are you envious of that?
No. I think that's how it is, because there's a bigger population over there. They're ahead of it.
The vaccine.
I think it's very positive to see that, whether it's theatre, plays, art galleries, all them opening slowly but surely. It's great. I have loads of friends over there in the West End of London. And I've been quite challenged over the last 12 months. And they're getting there. They're getting there slowly. So I think that's a great incentive for us in the arts here, we're moving slowly. And our arts community here, like, they produced the finest of work last Christmas with pantomimes and little short narratives, musical narratives. Drood, the Abbey, Landmark Productions have produced the finest of work. I have seen some of them online. But it's not the same going to a theatre.
It's not the same.
Absolutely. But it's there.
But it's the best.
And like, Drood produced a three-hander a couple of weeks ago. And please excuse me, I can't remember the name of it. But it was absolutely fantastic. Aaron Monaghan, Siobhan Cullen, and Another. Please excuse me. It was beautifully shot. It was beautifully presented, produced, directed, lit. It was just gone. Oh my God, I would love to see this live, you know.
Yeah, especially for an actor's point of view to portray a character on stage. I mean, you know, you've appeared in many productions on stage and, of course, on television as well. And you always have to kind of get the differentiation of being on stage to be in front of a camera. Like, you know, you've done Fair City, you do your shoot in Fair City and it's gone next. When you're on stage, which you've done many a time, to get that applause at the end of it,
it's just a different buzz. You feed from your audience, yeah.
And it's a slightly different way of performing as well, of course, isn't it? Because stage acting is much more.
Well, it is, because you're on a camera shoot.
Yes.
So whether it's a three camera or four camera shoot, you know, do you, so what I have noticed, which was quite ingenious of the producers, that the actors didn't have to turn to a camera, or maybe once or twice, I stand to be corrected there, with the Drood production, but they were very subtle. But yet again, there was nothing there to feed off, and particularly Landmark Productions, I think it was a Samuel Beckett piece, and it was very heavy, but it did need an audience. But at saying that, it was beautifully done, and you can feed off an audience, you know, regarding comedy, trying to do comedy within that scenario of the virtual side. But it would be very difficult, because you bounce off an audience regarding timing, you know, and laughs and all that.
Listen to me, you spoke about the pantomime, obviously a few of them had productions last year.
There was drive-in ones,
yes, and one that was on like filmed in advance. You're hoping, hoping, we're all hoping the Gaiety will return this year with the best panto in Ireland. Can you let us in on any information, meetings that's happening behind the scenes? Are you allowed to tell us? Are we kind of being very curious here?
I think all the pantos are best. They're all best, and they're all great, because we're all in the one business of the Christmas season. And, you know, with all the pantos, I've loads of colleagues in the Helix, Claire Tye, the producer, and Ryan Andrews and McLean Burke at the Olympia. And they all got to do it this year, which was great. The Gaiety just made a conscious decision.
Yeah.
I got a call in, would I do a promo for them, which I did, and announced that it wasn't going to happen. And you accept it. You just accept it. There's no point in crying over spilled milk.
No. These are
the decisions that managements have to make. And hopefully, I do not have any word about the Gaiety, but I think I really think it will happen, to be honest.
I have no clarification
or nothing to substantiate that. But I think the Little Mermaid will swim into the Gaiety this year in some format, definitely on the 28th of November, I think. Yeah,
and that's the Gaiety celebrates a big milestone birthday as well.
Yeah, 150 years.
Yes,
wow.
Like we're very lucky and privileged to have that. Like it belongs to everyone, not alone in Dublin, but further afield. Because over the years, particularly with the Panto, when I get requests and shout outs and all that, and letters of appreciation to the cast and the theatre, they're from all over the country.
Yeah.
So that building belongs to us all. It's there for us to use and to appreciate, and everyone to come and go to it. And you know, it's lovely to have something so nostalgic and its architectural quality inside and outside. Even the facade is beautiful outside. I passed it today, you know, as I do most days, and it's just beautiful. It's a beautiful piece of theatre, you know, that we should be very proud to have in our native city.
It really is iconic, and it's so comfortable to be in there too. Rebecca and I have been in it many a time to see many shows, and it's amazing. You had a little drama class as well with your students, your clients. Do you keep in contact with them? Anything going forward?
Do
you want to give them a shout out?
Robbie. Yeah, I do. And I did some Zoom, but then I pulled it back and I stopped them. And I tell you why. I found that the children were very, there was no connection.
Yeah.
They were tired. They were vulnerable. They were anxious, you know. So I went as far as I went, okay, this, you know, because there was a lot going on in households, a lot going on,
distractions,
a lot of anxiety and that. So I could see it and I stopped it. There's no point trying to flog a dead horse, right? Mm. So I'm picking all that back up in August.
And
I've been connecting with them through Zoom and text and all that. You know, I'm starting to go back to other stuff like that at the moment. But with young children and this, you know, their mental health and all that type of thing, and then on screens for classes and our wonderful educators and teachers and SNAs and all that, just a hard slog trying to keep it going with young children in front of a screen, and then not everyone has a screen. So there was a lot going on. I just felt, I'm going to stop this now. And there was a lot of, thank you very much, thank you, as much as you know, parents understand going, you know, that's how it is.
Well, look, Camille, I have to be honest with you, this time last year we were doing Zoom calls to my friends as well, and the first week was great, second week was funnier. By the third and fourth week, it just went downhill. People lost interest. You were trying to talk, people were going for smoke breaks in the middle of it all, and you're trying to convey with your friends even though you knew you couldn't be with them. And it is fun at the beginning, but the novelty wears off quite quickly.
Of course it does. Like, I've noticed, because I live in town here, and I've noticed over the last few months, it's been quite challenging for me personally, because town is extremely quiet. It is now as I'm talking to you, and it was even quieter. But over the last few days, you see a bit of footfall is starting to move. Not too much, but just a few. And even I've noticed as well over the last couple of months, the clean air in town. The air is beautiful and clean. The nature, the birds in my garden, there was the most beautiful coloured bird the other day in my garden. I didn't know where he came from. I went, where have you come from? Hello?
It's the same in Baldoyle, isn't it, Robbie?
I think he was flying over to the Canaries, just dropping off for his holidays. Like, and that's what has been beautiful about the city, is the clean air. Like, I watched a wonderful programme last night on BBC Two about climate change and Greta Thunberg, and the way we are just damaging our
planet
and nature and for the next generation. She's a wonderful young girl, and indeed what she's doing. But I, prior to seeing that, I'm going, God, it's lovely to jog around here early in the morning and you're not dealing with fumes and smells. It's just, and so I think we need to take all that on board and hold on to it. I think there's a great learning process from this for everyone. Everyone would take something out of this pandemic, you know, and we, you know, I think supporting one another, are you okay? Are you okay? Or will I call you? Do you need to chat? That can't stop when we finish,
when we move
on and get back, please God, to normality. That has to continue, because there will be a struggle with mental health across the board with everyone of all ages. but just, and I've been so blessed with people contacting me from halfway across the world. I got a call from someone last year, early stages, I'm on the beach, I'm just thinking of you. I went, well, that's a nice place to be thought of, on the beach. And
yeah, but, lovely.
Thanks for rubbing really, it in.
But really, the message of the story was, I know you live alone, are you okay? And I'm great, how are you? And that was just a reconnect with someone that I haven't talked to in quite a long time. And I have continued to do so with him once in a blue eye. How are you doing? And I've done that. And you can't do it with everyone. I think if there's a small bubble of people, or the new buzzword, the bubble.
The bubble,
just,
yeah.
Because we all have, mightn't all have mental health issues, but we all have small issues and anxiety. Like, I didn't and would never have a problem saying to someone, I'm not feeling it today. I'm really... Are you okay? I said, no, I'm not. No, I'm not okay. And that's terribly important, to say that you are not okay, no matter how old or young. I have found with being not okay, walking down Grafton Street, and I don't go to mass. I put my hands. I like it a notch, but I don't. But I do go into a church and light a candle into Clarendon Street, and that is my zen, my time out. To go, I need a bit of a hand here. I'm struggling a bit, and do a bit of meditation. I have found them so helpful, and I could. Today I was up really early. I had a job on, but then when I got back at lunchtime, I went upstairs, just take a few minutes and put on the cans and listen. Do a little bit of meditation. 20 minutes. That's all it took.
Eases it all down,
and
isn't it? Yeah.
Bounced up.
Do you do a guided meditation, Joe? Or?
Yes, I do. I do, absolutely, Rebecca, with Deepak Chopra.
Oh yes, and you're saying that.
I came across him last year just by default. I'm intrigued by. I'm reading a great book as well by Edith Eadgar. She's a psychologist. She was in Auschwitz, excuse me, and all that. And I'm really taken in by the by cognitive psychology and how the mind works and the human brain, how it reacts and how what we process and store in the brain, the information we store. Now, I am not an academic, far from it, but I'm intrigued by it. And with this book that I was reading by her, I have another one I got recently, the way she breaks down psychology of our mind and as humans. And when she was brought to Auschwitz with her sister, her mum and dad, and she saw her mum and dad going into a chamber and bye-bye. And she's a renowned psychologist. And she's wonderful, Anna. And I love knowledge. I love the knowledge of life. And by taking up singing lessons over the last couple of months with a new singing teacher, and I just gained knowledge. And I think that's what I really will take from this, is what I've learned so much about the human makeup and the psychology of our makeup during a very stressful and anxious time, including myself, hugely, including myself. And even with my post-cancer, like dealing with that, going, I'm fine now. I'll get grand. I will get in the... And I am, thanks to the team in St. Vincent's, Ray McDermott and Gerard McVeigh and Barry Maguire and all those people up there, just minded me. And so this was a different stress we had. It wasn't a medical stress. It was just a different stress. And that's why I loved reading up on all this type of thing. And what was great about it, if I say that correctly, is that we have time here to use this time, use it, and use it carefully. Don't throw it away.
Yes.
Because I think, please God, and this is the positive side to me, but I think come July, August, this lovely country will be in a better place, in a positive place, and we will be better for it when we come out of this. People have this thing of, I've loads of millions of friends. Well, we don't need loads of millions
of
friends.
Not at all. Just the genuine, sincere ones.
A small group of friends that we can rely on going, having a bad day, or let's go for a drink. Would you like to go for a bite to eat? Yeah, those small things. And also the materialism, like, we have not bought in months. Have we missed them? No.
No, that's
like,
the one.
So I think we will... It's a reevaluation of our lives.
Well, Joe, listen, thank you so much for the great advice tonight. It was absolutely amazing,
Very inspiring to talk to you.
It gave us a big lift at the end of the show.
Yeah.
Cheers so much for being a friend of the Art Show. Great to hear you doing so much. We will look forward to seeing you on the stage in the not too distant future. Please tell them all at the gate if you said hello. And keep the head flying high and keep inspiring us all. You're just such an inspiration. And thank you so much.
And the most important word for your list
listeners is?
Hope.
Hope.
All right. Good evening to
Joe,
you.
Joe, God bless. And thank you so much for speaking to us tonight. Oh, the wonderful Joe Conlon there. Actor extraordinaire, of course, and best known for his great performance on the stage of the Gaiety Theatre every Panto at the Christmas time events. And he's just amazing on stage. I just love the man. And he, of course, he's done lots of stuff on TV as well. And
a pleasure. He's a chef. I didn't know he was a chef.
I know. We must go out and get some food when we can.
Across Northeast Dublin. 90.3. This is Near FM.